Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com. Well, hello and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show. Big hello to everyone on planet Earth. Our intention for our show is to support individuals that are living a spiritually purposed life. We're bridging the gap in the spiritual community and committee at large. We're offering an event in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Check out our Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival in Las Cruces, New Mexico, August 1st on our website at alltruenatural.com. 350 individuals in two rooms bringing forth their gifts. Get your ticket today at alltruenatural.com. There will be speakers, dancers, workshops, musicians, and vendors. I'm Sam Greco here with my lovely wife, Cabrini, who will be interviewing our guest on today's show. And I'm going to hand over the mic to Cabrini, and we're off to the races.
Well, thanks, Sam, for that great introduction. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Today is June 11th of 2015, and boy, do we have a great show coming your way. We have an incredible guest with us this evening, and her name is Diane Brandon, author of a few books. The book that we're going to be talking, a couple books we're going to be talking about this evening. One of them is Dream Interpretation for Beginners, and then Easy Ways to Awaken Your Natural Abilities and Invisible Blueprints. And she also has written several articles. She's a contributing author to The Long Way Around, How 34 Women Found the Lives They Love and Speaking Out. That sounds really incredible. She's currently writing her next book, Born Aware, Memories of Those Spiritually Aware Since Birth and What We Can Learn. Wow, I'm sure we all can contribute to that. Spiritually aware since birth, Diane Brandon does profound facilitating and healing work as an integrative, intuitive counselor and specializes in essence readings, personal and spiritual growth, dream interpretation, meditation, regression, personal empowerment, and igniting others' inner potential and spiritual awareness. She focuses on life path and life purpose, relationships, career, children, passed on loved ones, and general life questions. She has the gift of knowing and sharing the higher meaning of what we are dealing with in our lives. Diane brings other modalities into her work, including dream interpretation, individualized guided meditations, regression, natural process healing, and customized exercises and affirmations. She's an expert on intuition. Meditation CDs are available, including A Journey Within Meditation, Natural Process Healing. She's also an actor, a singer, and a voiceover artist. Originally from New Orleans, Diane got her AB from Duke University, University of North Carolina, and she also has experience French studies in Geneva, Switzerland. Her two websites are www.dianebrandon.com, and then she has www.dianebrandon.net, and you can reach her by actually, you know, emailing her direct at diane@dianebrandon. Wow, that is some resume, and we are so blessed and thrilled to have Diane with us this evening. Welcome, Diane. Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you so much, Cabrini. It is wonderful to be here with you. It feels wonderful already.
Well, you have such a tremendous background and experience. I mean, not only everything that I mentioned, you also have experience as a radio host as well.
Yes, yes.
Are you still running that radio show? Is that still available?
No, actually, I discontinued that about 2 years ago, Cabrini. It was so much work, I'm sure you're aware of that. And the writing, you know, the writing the books is really was taking over. So
yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? You know, especially, I mean, to be acknowledged as an expert on intuition. I mean, to have written two books, one on intuition for beginners, and the other book, Dream Interpretation for Beginners. And folks, you can find those on her website at dianebrandon.com. A really phenomenal website. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that came to fruition for yourself, and since it is an intuitive experience, these books?
Yes, I'll be happy to, Cabrini. It's funny because both the intuitive work and the writing came out of left field. You know, I've always remembered what I thought when I was born. So I have been spiritually aware since birth, though, you know, I didn't know that that was unusual. And but the intuition came out of left field nonetheless. I started working professionally with my intuition about 22 years ago, and the first few years I was thinking, what in the world am I doing? And I finally got used to the sense that, or had the sense that I am intuitive, and I started, you know, researching really more about intuition. And the writing came because one publication we had here in the Research Triangle in North Carolina was Connections, and the guy who ran that went around asking people, you know, for articles. So I wrote an article that started the writing. I really say, Cabrini, I am not a writer. I only write when I have something to say. So, you know, it's not something that I feel that I need to do. I feel like that I need to communicate, you know, ideas and teachings. But, you know, I know now, I will say this, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It wasn't revealed to me for many years in my life. That's why I pursued the acting and singing, because from the time I was born, I thought that was what I was here to do. But now that I've been doing this work for as long as I've been doing it, I know that this is my path. So, you know, the writing to me is like, it's teaching through writing. You know, I teach, you know, when I speak, you know, I teach directly in classes and workshops, and the writing to me is just another way in which I'm teaching. So, you know, it all kind of happened organically, I guess.
So would you say that, you know, when you say, you know, the writing is a part of your experience, and would you say that your writing is intuitively guided?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, Cabrini, because just in the past 3 or 4 days, you know, I've been realizing that, you know, things just come to me. And I know that sometimes I'm trying to figure things out myself, and a lot of times things just come. They just flow, and I know that they're coming, you know, from source. So yes, definitely there are times when it's intuitive, and there are other times when I am, you know, using my left brain, you know, figuring this out or trying to organize material. So, I think, you know, years ago, for centuries, people talked about artists being spoken to by the muse. You know, the muse would give the inspiration, you know, and the ideas. And I think that's probably true for all people who are creative, whether it's artistic creativity or whether it's creative thinking. Some of it, I feel, comes from within us. I have my own theory about the unconscious, but a lot of it comes from outside of us. And, you know, if we're open, if we are receptive, oh, yes, we'll get lots and lots of good stuff, and I am always grateful for it.
You know, I mean, both of these topics, talking about intuition and, you know, you're writing a book, Intuition for Beginners, and then also Dream Interpretation for Beginners as well. I mean, it's just fascinating. I'm drawn completely to both subjects equally. And, you know, one of the things I, you know, I, let's we'll get back to the intuition, But let's just go ahead and talk about dream interpretation so people can better understand a little bit about what they're experiencing in their dreams, and maybe you can put some light on that for them. And can you tell us a little bit how dreams can benefit people in their lives? And just to begin with that.
I'll be glad to, Cabrini. You know, I've actually been working with dreams for longer than with my intuition. I have always been fascinated by dreams, and I think it's because I love to sleep. When I'm sleeping, I'm not here. It's the closest I can come to, you know, being on the other side. So I've always loved to sleep, and I've always loved to figure things out. So that's how I started working with dreams. But over the years, As I've delved into dreams more and more, I have found that they can give us wonderful benefits. I think a lot of people are curious about their dreams almost more as, you know, entertainment, or they consider their dreams to be an oddity. But dreams can really benefit us in so many different ways. My intuitive work is really geared around facilitating others unfolding and growth, in addition to, you know, some of the spiritual aspects. And a lot of people don't realize that you can use your dreams as a tool in your life for unfolding and for personal growth, even, you know, working on old issues. You can use dreams, you can get insights through your dreams for your life. You can... Oh, boy, there's a huge spiritual aspect of dreams. Some dreams in and of themselves are just spiritual in nature. Some dreams are actually solving problems for us. And we can use our dreams for self-awareness and also for health and for healing. So, you know, the more I've studied dreams, the richer I have discovered that they are. They are incredibly rich. You know, we humans like to do simple little sound bites and put things into a box and make them, you know, have them be one-dimensional to be understood. But dreams, I really encourage people to respect dreams for their complexity and for all the many different gifts they can give us in different areas of our lives. They can even give us insight into other people, you know, in our lives. So, and I also feel in working with dreams, it's best to approach each dream as its own sort of little event. So, you know, that's just a little taste of what dreams can give us.
Well, I've had firsthand experience with what you're talking about, and I'm kind of the same type of person that you are. I can really relate to loving to sleep, you know, and then there's other times where I'm wide awake. But, you know, what I found is that there's been very significant dreams that I can remember, and I'm sure many of our listeners have that dream that they wake up and, you know, if they think about it long enough, they have that memory. Mm-hmm. And then there's those dreams that, you know, like you wake up exhausted. And, you know, you don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I'll preface this and say I haven't done a lot of research on this, Cabrini. I haven't had many clients ask me about that, but I've had my own personal experiences with it. And this actually dates back to the 70s when I was living in a house that was haunted, not because I planned to, but... You know, it just kind of happened. And there were some nights when there was more activity in the house, not that I was awakened by it, sometimes I was, but some mornings I woke up and I was tired, which was unusual for me, and my sense was that my energy was being used in a way for the manifestation, you know, of some of the beings. I think it was primarily people who had lived in the house, you know, decades before. Another possibility, I feel, can come from what we may be doing while we're sleeping that we're not consciously aware of. And that has to do with the deeper levels of sleep, you know, the really deep levels, like when we're in delta. And usually we don't bring back a conscious awareness of what was going on in that level. Some people have brought back an awareness. A lot of people say that when we're deeply asleep is when we're being worked with spiritually and perhaps even taught. Sometimes we're being taken to other places, you know, whether it's, you know, in this dimension, whether it's in another dimension, whether it's on the other side. I know some people, and I have some dreams in the book from people who are aware of being taken to places. Jamel Suzanne has a dream in the book about that, and I do have permission to use her name. And some people have an awareness of going while they're sleeping to help other people, whether they know the people or not. And sometimes they are doing the helping themselves, and sometimes it may be, you know, a group sort of effort. So it feels to me that it's possible that if we've been doing a lot in those deeper levels, because the deeper levels of sleep, that's the really, you know, restful sleep. So if we've been doing a lot, or if we've been taking a lot of places, it makes sense to me that we may make a wake up tired. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And on some level, you know, I'm sure I'm aware, and many people are aware, that you feel that, yeah, I've traveled somewhere. I may not have complete understanding as to where I went, but I know that I went somewhere just because of the physical feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Feeling, you know, overworked.
Overextended.
I find it very fascinating, and, you know, I know myself with my own dreams. I literally had such a bad experience with a particular dream that I was terrified to go to sleep.
Oh.
And this went on, you know, for about 4 or 5 days. Now, this is over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was I really did not want to go to sleep. And so I ended up going to a dream analysis psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious because the dream, what it ended up really coming out to mean, was on complete ends of the spectrum. And it really took a professional for me to work with. Because I'll tell you right now, coming from the place that I was in, with all true awareness as I could be at that moment, I would never have been able to get to what I needed to know about mm-hmm. that particular dream without the help of a professional.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I have nothing but respect for the work that you do. And can you tell us a little bit how you actually do that work with dream interpretation with your clients?
Certainly. For some reason, I can't tell you why, Cabrini, I've always been plugged into meaning. And even if it's, you know, meaning of symbols and symbolic meaning. And when I was an undergrad, my freshman year, I had my English class was at 8 o'clock. And first class of the day, and I tended to oversleep. Anyway, one time the professor had the class explicate a poem. It was a paper, and she thought I was really good at it. And then I started in grad school, you know, I had a roommate in grad school. We were very close, and she was interested in dreams and would interpret each other's dreams. So, you know, my approach to dreams, and in the book I have a specific procedure that I recommend for people to follow. When a client tells me their dream, I close my eyes and I go into a quasi-intuitive state. And as they tell me their dream, I see what is coming to me. And it's interesting, when somebody verbally tells you their dream, sometimes a particular inflection on a word or phrase will stand out, and you know it has particular meaning. In working at the symbols, at teasing out the meanings of the symbols, I do a dialogue with clients. Because if a dream is coming from our unconscious, it has our vocabulary. And that's a whole other thing, is learning how our unconscious speaks, what its vocabulary is, because it's very different from that of our conscious mind. And so, for example, when there are symbols to be teased out in the dream, I will say, well, what do you think of when you think of a business building, for example? And then once I tease out the meanings of the dreams, I mean, it all falls into place. I ask about a person's feeling in the dream, because that can be a huge indication of the meaning. When I was speaking on dreams sometime, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, one woman in the audience asked about recurring dreams that she'd had of being chased. And we would typically think that those might have been, you know, scary dreams. I asked her how she felt in the dream, and she said, oh, I feel good, they're pleasant. So you always have to check in and make sure that you're on the same page with how the person felt, you know, at different parts of the dream and even when they woke up. So it's really, it's intuition, it's teasing out meanings, it's putting, you know, pieces of the puzzle together, and the meaning emerges. Sometimes the meaning will jump out at you, and other times, you know, it doesn't. And even a very short dream, Cabrini, can have significant meaning and can also have different symbols in it. So, you know, it's a combination, I think, of an intuitive process combined with, you know, with some deductive reasoning, with, you know, teasing things out. It's all over the place, but I don't know why I have always been oriented towards meaning, and I don't know why the unconscious, you know, feels easy to me, you know, with dreams, but it has. So I wish I had the answer to that one. I don't have that one yet.
Well, can you share a little bit, perhaps an experience that you've had that you feel comfortable in sharing with a dream, and how that worked out in a meaning for you? Just to show the elaborateness of what dreams actually can represent, because I truly understand that, the language of the subconscious mind is really in symbols and mm-hmm. color and, you know, it's very fluid, doesn't really speak English.
No, it doesn't.
Because it's a universal type experience, it doesn't have to use, the language of, French or German or English.
No, and it loves visual images, and it loves puns and plays on words, and, it's a totally different thing. Would you like for me to share one, that comes from my own personal experience?
However you want to do that, just to give us an idea how that works with dreams and how they can play out with dream analysis. A guided individual, how that can work out for someone, because I found from my own personal experience it was a big leap from here to there.
I'll be happy to. First of all, I'll share a dream or just summarize it that's in the book, because I found it to be quite meaningful, and then I'll share some of my own experiences that I've always remembered that were very significant. The dream in the book is from somebody I know, and she's anonymous in the book, so I won't share her name. And it took place, I believe it was in the 70s, in the basement of her home. You know, the TV was on, but there was nothing playing on it, and there was a party going on, but she couldn't participate. And then her mother was there, propped up. You know, mother kept urinating. And the dreamer had to keep cleaning up after her mother. Well, long story short, I mean, the dream went on, there was more to it, but the dream was really about her personal issues, you know, with her mother, and it was followed by a dream right after that of being in this icy river and swimming with her sister behind her and a cousin even further behind. That was like progress, but her first dream really had to do with her personal process. It was in the basement. It took place in the basement. So it was the dreamer's unconscious. and it was talking about her issues with her mother, her progress in working on them, because she'd been working on them for years. And the second dream was actually showing or indicating that she was further along in the process from having been affected by her mother than her sister was. So, and that pair of dreams is in the book, and it just, to me, illustrates beautifully how a dream can be expressing our personal process. Now, dreams can also work out personal issues. The dreams of mine that I want to share with you took place when I was in grad school. I've always remembered them because they combined, you know, different aspects. In the middle of the night, I was sound asleep, and I heard a voice to my right call my name. And I tried to turn. I mean, there was no space for anybody to be there because a piece of furniture was there. Long story short, in trying to get up, you know, to figure out who had called my name, I apparently went out of body. I'd never consciously had an out-of-body experience before. And, you know, simultaneously I'm over by, you know, the door trying to turn the light switch. Then I think of using the phone, which was in my roommate's room. You know, all of a sudden I'm in the roommate's room. I realize I'm out of body, slammed back into my body, and woke up and was a little scared, freaked out, went back to sleep. And later that same night, I had a dream in which I was in this old house with some elderly ladies, and for some reason I was telling them about that experience earlier in the night. And of course I know, you know, the ladies were guides, and they said, well, this was, when I even said, and I don't know that I'd remembered it consciously before that second dream, I said, well, 2 weeks ago I even had this dream that told me that presaged this, that something would happen, you know, on the full moon. I find that interesting because at that point in my life I wasn't paying attention to phases of the moon. So the women in the house said, well, this was a test. And I woke up and I thought for years that I'd flunked the test. But I've realized that really shifted some things in my life, because even though, you know, I've been spiritually aware since I was born, and my interest in metaphysical topics had primarily been cognitive. I'd been reading about things. So this was the first time I had an experiential thing happen. And I think there must have been some sort of realization that maybe going out of body was not my thing. I just want to be on the other side. I don't want to go out of body here. And I think it somehow made me readier for all the things I've done since then, you know, with meditation, with regression, and certainly even to opening up to the fact that I'm apparently intuitive. So, interesting experiences. Those are two that stand out: the dream in the book, you know, and my pair of them.
Let's talk a little bit, because both of your books, I mean, it's really about using your intuition. And what do you think, Diane? Do you think that everybody's intuitive?
Yes, I really do, Cabrini. For some people, it may be lying there, you know, as a potential, and in other people it may be closer to the surface. But I have never, I started teaching people intuitive skills back in 96. I've done a corporate seminar on it. I've never had anybody not be able to get information. So yes, I feel that everybody has that potential.
So for those individuals that you wrote this book for, you know, especially about your intuition and your dream interpretation, you know, utilizing the intuition. Can you share perhaps maybe a little niblet from your book about how does one person even recognize intuition? within themselves. Like, where would they begin, you know, listening to their, you know, acknowledging their intuition, and perhaps even using their intuition with their dreams? Where would they begin with that?
Well, I personally feel, Cabrini, that probably a good place to start with intuition is to understand, first of all, what it is and what it isn't. Because I know that before I started working with mine, my concept of what intuition was like this tiny sliver of what it really is. Because, you know, intuition is really being spoken to or getting information in ways other than just using our five senses, you know, or anything that's more pragmatic, so to speak. You know, I thought you had to actually get images, you know, if you were intuitive or psychic. That's not true, because different people will experience their intuition in different ways. A lot of mine comes in the form of an impression. Sometimes I get visual images. I feel things kinesthetically at times. Sometimes I get things in my body, or sometimes I will get words or phrases. So the first step, I feel, is really to open up yourself to the possibility that your intuition is speaking to you in more than just one way, that it doesn't have to be seeing things or a visual image. The second thing I feel, Cabrini, is to pay attention to what comes to you. Because I think most people have spontaneous experiences with their intuition. You know, they get a gut feeling about something, or, you know, something tells them to do something. But then what you really have to do, I feel, is to go from having your intuition speak to you spontaneously to learning how to access it on demand. And one thing I am very big on, some people might say I make too much out of this, I'm very big on accessing information that is pure and is not contaminated or affected by our personal stuff. And by personal stuff, I know you know what I mean. It's our wishes, our fears, it's our beliefs, it's our mindsets, it's our old tapes. And
all that fun stuff.
all that fun old human stuff. And so, you know, I actually teach people, you know, how to do that. So it's kind of, I feel that it's important to do each of those, not by themselves, to really start to open up to it. And I love the variability I see when I'm teaching this from one person to the next as to how they're experiencing their intuition and the forms that it comes in. I mean, it's just beautiful, you know, to observe. And some people, you know, I tend to get more literal information. Some people get, you know, symbolic or figurative information. Of course, then they have to interpret it. So this is a beautifully complex little thing, I think.
Yeah, and what I liked what you just said was the uniqueness that you really like working with each individual, because the storyline is unique, right, to each individual.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so it is very mystical. There is a sense of crossing over into a pureness, as you say. Mm-hmm. I can confirm this because my own experience as well. I think experience is great, Diane.
Absolutely.
I think it's one of the guiding forces, don't you, with intuition, is that it's a repetitive, kind of communication that happens on, you know, many levels of the human experience, intuition. Like
mm-hmm.
you were saying, with the senses, clairvoyance, claircognition. These are higher senses, right? More evolved. More connected, I would say, with you.
They're pre-verbal. They tend to be pre-verbal, except when we get information in words and phrases. And, you know, I will say this, it's a little, you know, kind of caveat emptor, buyer beware sort of thing. You know, intuition is not foolproof. You know, and we have to be fully aware of that, that, you know, that it's not foolproof. But it is, I mean, especially when we are paying attention to our inner voice. I mean, we are spoken to. Some people, you know, think of it in terms of, you know, their angels or their guardian angels. Other people think of it in terms of guides. I have felt, you know, myself a direct connection to God since I was born. So, you know, that's where I feel, you know, a lot of my information comes from. But, you know, we really don't have to figure out where it's coming from, because I feel like we can also sense when we're getting wonderful, helpful, positive, benevolent information. And it does require, I think, a little bit of trust. So yes, it comes from a very different place from, you know, what we can see and, you know, and hear and touch, you know, through our five senses. And I feel too, the more we have worked on clearing our personal stuff, you know, that can contaminate it, the more we can get into a level of consciousness that may be a little higher. I call it the higher soul awareness. And when I teach intuition, I start out with basics and what intuition is, and then start doing some basic exercises, and then we finish off with very advanced exercises, because I'm really big into trying to get us to a level where we're clear and present, and where it comes as close as possible to our higher soul awareness. And you know, Cabrini, how wonderful that is. There's just, it's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're going through a difficult time, for those of you that are listening to the show right now, just know that the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It really is the light.
Yeah.
And your life does become very magical as you, you know, you respond to that inner instruction, you know, of knowledge, the intuition. Again, I, as far as it not being foolproof, can you talk a little bit about that? What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, number one, it's said about psychics that they're not 100% reliable. You know that, right?
Yes, yes.
And the same is true, you know, when we are experiencing intuition, you know, especially if we are working at getting it on demand.
Yes.
I personally feel that there are times when we may even get information that is not accurate, because it may be leading us to experience something we're supposed to experience to learn from. So that's one way in which it isn't. Obviously, while we're here, we're not going to be omniscient, so we won't necessarily have access to absolute knowledge. And I will say this, that's one of the things that upset me very much when I was born. Because I knew that not only
that's
was
funny.
I not...
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't with God, and I didn't like that, kind of resented it. And I knew that while I was here, I didn't have absolute knowledge, and I resented that. And I knew I had to be here. But yeah, while we're here, we were not going to have absolute knowledge. So this means, theoretically, we could say we should be able to get intuitive information about anything, but no, we can't have that absolute knowledge while we're here. Sometimes an error can come in how we interpret information, you know, if it's not literal. And, of course, the other biggie is separating out the true intuitive information from, you know, from our personal stuff. If there's something we really, really want, you know, we may not be able to get accurate information. I've come up with some advanced exercises that are designed to help us bypass our stuff, but it is not 100%. It would be nice if it were.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it goes, you know, really, it's a really an individual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that everyone, you know, from my perspective here, and, you know, I think that you're in agreement with this, Diane, you know, has their own kind of tone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they do tune in more and more, they begin to learn how to actually work with that intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And know when, you know, when it is really, truly in the sink,
mm-hmm.
you know, of that expansive, infinite, you know, expression of love, and when it isn't.
Yeah.
Now, I find that there's a lot of things that can happen with intuition. You know, we can be led in a direction that, you know, it's very important with intuition is not to depend on outcomes. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, it's like, yeah, listen, respond, but don't, like, start, you know, writing a story about what how it's going to, you know, end up, because we find ourselves in our own life that, boy, you know, there's so much involved with living with, you know, people.
Oh, yes, and I feel like that is an extremely important point, Cabrini, not to be attached to the outcomes.
Yeah, and let, you know, let it all happen. And, I, you know, anyone that's really interested in dream interpretation or using your intuition, don't you think it's a practice, Diane?
I do. I do feel both with intuition and dream interpretation, the more you practice, the better you will get with it. And with both of them, too, I was going to say this about intuition, but no, I think it's also true with dream interpretation. If you are spiritual and if you are spiritually oriented, the more you allow yourself to go to those higher levels and trust, you know, trust that this is a benevolent universe, trust that all is in divine order, then I feel like that also helps, you know, with both of those, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, perhaps, you know, those of you that are listening, you may never have had that, you know, connection, that spiritual experience, and or, you know, that ability to feel intuitive. Maybe you've never had that experience and you've questioned yourself a lot. You know that, you know, you can. And there are ways, and there are individuals such as Diane Brandon. Now, Diane, you're in North Carolina, down by Durham, right? Isn't
yes,
it down
yes, in the Research Triangle area of
wow, North
that's Carolina.
Really interesting. Does that have to do with the Bermuda Triangle?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, okay.
It's because you've got three major universities here. Duke is in Durham, University of North Carolina is in Chapel Hill, and NC State is in Raleigh, and they're all here in what's called the Triangle, or the Research Triangle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Well, I've spent some time in North Carolina out there in the Outer Banks, and, you know, that's at the beginning of the Bermuda Triangle up there. So, I'm excuse me for my geographical ignorance.
No,
but,
and it's beautiful at the coast.
Oh, you know, our country, we have such beautiful areas, you know, all over the country. And
mm-hmm.
you've been around the world yourself, and you've been in New Orleans, growing up in New Orleans. You've been in Geneva, and, you know, now you're in North Carolina. And do you have a practice there, Diane?
I do. I do. I did undergrad here at Duke and then did grad school at UNC. So I've actually been here for many, many years. I did spend some time in Memphis, and then I moved back here. But I started doing this work here in the Triangle. So this is where I started struggling with what am I doing with my intuition, and came through it and started writing. It all started here. All of that work started here. So, yes, I have a practice here in North Carolina. I've traveled to other areas, you know, to teach from time to time, you know, and I do sessions by phone, so I've worked with people, you know, not just locally and nationally, but also in other countries. Phone and Skype make it so easy.
Doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, I've even taught individual lessons on intuition, to people, you know, by phone and by Skype. So, I this is my base.
Well, North Carolina is really blessed to have you there. You know, I was saying to Diane on the break that I really appreciate that, you know, she's out there and that she's actually helping people to understand their own intuition and their own interpretation of their dreams, because it's all coming from within.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Diane, wouldn't you say that when people really go within and they start listening to their intuition and they're, you know, they start listening and kind of analyzing or, you know, putting the puzzle together, as you said before, about dreams, that they really do kind of expand personally, they get to know themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would be the benefit completely of really working with your intuition and, interpreting your dreams?
Well, you just said it so beautifully, Cabrini. It opens up a whole other dimension. You know, I think in our culture, we've generally been raised to pay attention to what we can see and what's kind of on the surface. And when we start developing our intuition, when we start paying attention to our dreams, it introduces us to our unconscious, to our subconscious and our unconscious. And of course, I know you know, Cabrini, that that's most of who we are, you know, in a lifetime.
True.
Our conscious awareness is just the tip of the iceberg. So it expands us. It expands our sense of who we are. We start to understand ourselves better, the fuller sense of who we are, and then when we go within with meditation, that allows us to connect spiritually with higher levels. So it's interesting that by exploring what lies a little deeper in our unconscious via dreams and intuition, that we're not only learning more about levels of ourselves and facets of ourselves and dimensions of ourselves, but we're also connecting spiritually with other levels. It is an absolutely beautiful thing, and I love this stuff.
And that's why Diane Brandon is on our show today. It's about living your passion. And, you know, the work that Diane's doing is really making a difference there in, you know, individuals' lives, you know, because they're expanding. I mean, this is really what it's about, don't you think, Diane? Any type of modality, I mean, you have such an extensive, background and experience in so many different modalities. Don't you really feel that the whole purpose of awakening is really truly about the experience of well-being and, you know, having that sense of knowing of who you are? I mean, that's the premise behind all the work, isn't it?
It really is, you know, and you can actually talk about this, Cabrini, in a more mainstream fashion of personal development and understanding, you know, who we are, why we are the way we are, you know, looking at things from our past, etc. So you can look at it from that way. To me, when you introduce the spiritual element, the spiritual factor, and I only do that if people are spiritually oriented or interested, it is a whole other dimension. It really connects us, and it also is empowering. It's very empowering. You know, I've met so many clients over the years who were so unsure of themselves, and you know, I've really tried to help them. You know, the term empowerment is really overdone these days, but it is a very legitimate concept. You know, with intuition, for example, you know, when you start exploring how your intuition speaks to you and when you start developing that, you start to become your own authority. You have to start cognitively, I feel, by telling yourself, I really can know things myself. I really don't need to depend on somebody else's opinion. But then when you develop the intuition and you start to become your own authority, it doesn't mean that you don't go outside of yourself for information, but that opens up a whole world. It's amplifying. It makes you fuller. It makes you more relaxed with yourself, more confident. You start to see more possibilities for yourself. It has a huge effect. And of course, you know, Cabrini, and here I'm going to wax, you know, whatever, that we have so many problems in our world. So if each person started to understand him or herself more, started to meditate, started to feel less anxiety, started to feel less frustration, you know, the world, we would really see, you know, a more positive world and how people treated each other. So I think a lot of us know that the time externally in the world at present is really asking us to do the work we need to do, not just on ourselves. I mean, yes, we have to do it on ourselves, of course, but also if we work with other people, that's how we can start to make some positive changes. And I don't want to get on my soapbox. My radio show was on green topics the last 5 years. So I get...
Wonderful. Good.
Yeah. So this is hugely important to me. But, you know, a lot of us came in to do certain things. And I started getting the message 2 years ago, you know, that it was getting more important for people to start doing whatever they came in to do. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
I think it's great. Your soapbox is just wonderful.
You
stay there as long as you want.
You're kind, Cabrini.
Let me ask you, Diane, do you have to be spiritual, you know, in order to be intuitive or to even use intuition?
Absolutely not, because it is a faculty. You do not have to be spiritual, nor do you have to be ethical. Because, you know, as we know, there's some people who are working with their intuition and they are intuitive who are dishonest. That's not to say, and I want to make this clear, that's not to say that people who are not spiritual who are using their intuition are dishonest. I'm not saying that. But, you know, intuitive ability is a faculty. It's something we can develop. It is not connected to spirituality, nor is it connected to ethics or principles. I personally feel that when we're spiritual and ethical, that's the highest expression of intuition. But no, you don't have to be. Mm-mm.
Wow, what an incredible show this has been. Everyone, we're so glad that you're with us here today and this evening. We're speaking with Diane Brandon, author, Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Understanding the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind, Intuition for Beginners, Easy Way to Awaken Your Natural Abilities, and The Invisible Blueprint. Well, that's another show.
Yeah, that was
you
the first
book. You definitely have to come back and do this again, Diane.
This
has
been
a very
to.
Quick hour.
I'd love to, Cabrini. It's such a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, well, we're thrilled to be with you as well. Now, we just have a couple minutes left. And so, in closing, Diane, do you have any message for humanity?
I feel that I do, humbly. I feel that I do, and I feel that we all have access to messages for humanity. But it's to really know that you can be happier, you can discover things in yourself you didn't know were there, you can be more confident, you can make a difference in the world. And all you need to do is take the first step, whatever that step is. That first step will vary from person to person. Pay attention to your gut. Pay attention to how you're led. Trust that everything happens for a reason and allow yourself just to take a step towards whatever you're led to.
Yes. Well, that is absolutely beautiful, and thank you so much for that message. I think the information that you brought forth today is impacting, and I think that the work that you do is very impacting as well, and it's a great service to humanity. So thank you so much
for listening
to your dreams and responding.
You.
I think it's just incredible. Like, to me, you're living your dream through the dream world. It's really phenomenal.
Mm.
Thank you so much for being here. Yes. Folks, we're really happy that you've joined us this evening. We'll be back here again on Tuesday evening. We're on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to 8 and two Sundays every month, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Read more about our Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival, which will be held August 1st on our website at alltruenatural.com. And also you can reach us at oneheartonelove1spirit.org. Much love, everyone. Much blessings, and have a great evening. Good night.